Hello, friends. This is Brother Ricky Cothran, and I welcome you to the April Gospel Voice podcast, and also some of you get this by CD ministry. Our Father, we do thank you for the privilege of coming this April and sharing a message of the Word of God, and I pray that you'll bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, as we've been announcing now, next month will be the last Gospel Voice. It is our oldest ministry, started in 1999, but the ministry, I believe, has run its course. I think it's time to end this portion of our ministry here. And you can still keep up with us by going to gbiradio.org or downloading the GBI Radio app. And also, we encourage you to listen to our radio stations. We encourage you to write us. We encourage you to keep up with us that way. And we still provide the all-preaching station, PTG Radio, which is accessible on the GBI Radio app or by going to gbiradio.org. So next month will be our final message here. Well, continue to pray for us here in the ministry as we continue to go through the month of April, and we're still working on some projects, and we've seen the Lord do some things this year. There's other things that we'd like to see the Lord do as we continue to work, and have taken on some new radio stations for our gospel pulpit in the past few months. And the Lord is working. I'm always amazed at radio and people that listen, because I know that it gets out and people do listen. But whether by internet, podcast, or by radio, or by just however you listen. Now, there's so many different ways to listen to a radio. This month, I'm going to focus on a message that I preached just a few weeks ago from the book of Acts. And it's talking about a submitted life. And you know, if we're going to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to give our all to Him. And the deal with that is that we have to be renewed every day. You know, we say, well, we go down to an altar, we say, I'm going to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the next day, the old flesh pops up, and we're right back in the old flesh. But I say this to you, continually give yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord have His way in your life, whether you're a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a deacon, whether you're singing in the choir, whether you witness, whatever you do for the glory of God, just do your all for Him. And that's all God asks. God is not a God up in heaven demanding more of you than you can do. God said, present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is a reasonable God. He sure is. He's a reasonable God. And so, I trust this message will be a real help to you. If you're not living where you ought to be in the Lord's work, I hope you will get where you need to be. We're living in a dangerous hour, a discouraging hour. We're living in an hour of people really don't know where to turn. But I believe this. I believe we'll stay with the book, stay with the Bible, the Word of God, and stay in prayer. I encourage you to read your Bible every day. And then I also encourage you to get your prayer list every day and pray down that prayer list. You'd be amazed what that will do. So I hope you'll do that in these days, all right? And again, if you'd like to write us here, our mailing address is Gospel Broadcasting, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina. And the zip is 27017. And then, of course, again, our GBI radio app is available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. I hope you'll download that also. All right. And then go to gbiradio.org. You can get my sermons plus other people's sermons that we post up there. So you can do that. All right, we're going to the message at this time entitled A Submitted Life. I hope it's a blessing as you listen. I invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. And we have a message that I believe will be a real help to you. Acts chapter number 9. And I begin reading here at verse number 10. Acts chapter 9, we'll begin reading at verse number 10. The Bible said, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. The Bible said, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And the Bible said, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, fathers, we come to this important message. I pray you'll help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's the story. Paul, or Saul at that time, is on the Damascus Road. And, of course, we know that the Lord appears to Saul, and we know that Saul gets saved. And Saul sees the glory of God. Saul has to do that in order to be an apostle. And, of course, God changes his name to Paul. And now he is in the house of one Judas, and so God speaks to his servant Ananias in a vision. Now, in those days, God spoke in visions. God does not speak in visions today, but he spoke in a vision and told him to go over there and put his hands on him. And, of course, Ananias was hesitant about that, and he's saying, Lord, I've heard of this man. I've heard how he is. And the Lord said, you go your way. He's a chosen vessel to me. And I want to call your attention today. The message, the first part of it at least, would be about Ananias, not necessarily about Paul, but Ananias. Ananias was submitted. Ananias did what the Lord asked him to do. Now, I want to preach to you on this subject today, a submitted life. You know, very few Christians have a submitted life. Did you know that? We really don't. We in America today, we're just going through the motions, and we're living it up, and our excuse is, well, I believe the Lord wants us to have a good time. Now, and wait a minute, I do too. I believe that. I don't think the Christian life is a bunch of list of rules and do's and don'ts, but I also believe this. I believe there's a very much lack of sincerity in this hour about serving God. And here's the deal. You're never going to get people serious until God works on their hearts. Now, you can work on their head all you want to. You know, I was reading just yesterday, Saul in the Old Testament had a false repentance. You know, he's going to kill David, told his servants, he said, y'all go kill him. And then he said, Jonathan talked to him, and he brought David back in his presence. And then a few verses later, he's trying to kill him again. Now, we're living in a fake hour. We're living when people say, I want the Lord, and boy, I want to live close to God. And people think because they go to church and serve in some ministry that they're living close to God. Let me say this to you, that service will not bring you close to God. God will bring you close in service. Amen. You'll be close to God, you'll serve, but serving God will not make you closer to Him. But submitting to God will make you closer to Him. Now, as we see in verse number 10, the Lord called Ananias by name. Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. In other words, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to do it. Now, when we talk about surrendering and submitting, I think people get scared about that. And most people feel like that if they surrender to God, God's going to move them out of their comfort zone. God's going to get them out of their job or their good house or their family or their school their kids attend or their church, and they just absolutely cannot handle that. Well, first of all, let me say this to you. God does not call everybody to a strange place. And submitting to God does not always mean that God's going to move you somewhere else. Now, let me say this. You can submit to God, but I used to think that you'd go down to the altar and you'd submit to God one time, like getting saved, and you'd be submitted. No, sir, no, sir. I believe that you have to submit to God every day. I believe you've got to make sure that you're in God's will every day. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation, but I'm talking about submitting to God's work every day, submitting to God's word every day. You ought to be submitted every day to the Lord. And you've got to fight this flesh. You've got to fight this flesh. Now, there's an old Southern gospel song that came out, The Old Man is Dead. Well, I never did like that song. And if you do, don't get mad at me. I just never did like that song, because here's the thing about it. That same body that you, the Bible said, present your body as a living sacrifice. And that same body will crawl off the altar, amen, the next morning. I mean, I promise you, you got to crucify this flesh every day. You're going to have to. You got to crucify it every day. Now, the word submit means to yield. It means to resign or surrender to the power, will, or authority of another. And when you're submitted to God, you're going to have to, you got to say, okay, Lord, you got the power, you got the authority, you got your will. Now, there are some people, and you can use anything you want to for excuse. Some people say, well, I sat under a preacher when I was young, and man, he is against everything, and it turned me against the Lord. Well, I'm going to say you got the wrong attitude. I just want to go on record saying I'm not a recovering fundamentalist. I want you to know that. Fundamentalism is not what's caused me problems. Amen. The devil's caused me problems. And I'm not going to go through life being rebellious. Yes, I've sat under some preaching that probably I shouldn't have been under, and heard some things I probably, and even preached some things I probably shouldn't have preached. But wait a minute. I'm preaching the same doctrines I was 40 years ago from the Bible. And let me say to you that this Bible was good then, it's good now. Sin was sin then, it's sin now. Amen. But I believe that we ought to be submitted as Christians. I think this, if we're going to continue to operate in America with the freedoms that we have right now and the free worship that our forefathers envisioned for America, then I'll tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get a generation of people that is submitted again to God. Amen. So now I'm going to give you some areas about submission today. All right. So number one, Ananias was submitted to the Word of God. Look at verse number 17, if you still got your Bible, Acts chapter number 9. The Bible said, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house. Now, Ananias did what the Lord asked him to do. Now, as I said earlier, back in those days, God spoke by visions. Now, God does not speak by visions today. We have the entire 66 books of the Bible, 1,189 chapters, 31,000 verses of the Bible. We have that. And so God does not speak to us today by visions and dreams. God speaks to us by the Bible. And we are to be submitted to this Bible. And I'll just say this, and I don't pick a fight with anybody, but I'm kind of tired of preachers tearing our Bible apart today. You got preachers that just tore the King James Bible apart. This don't mean this for this people, and that don't mean that for that people. Now, wait a minute. I believe in rightly dividing the Word of God. And I'm smart enough in the Bible to know that there are verses in there to the Jew, there are verses to the Gentile. And I'll echo what I heard one preacher say the other day. God has not taken the promises of Israel and given them to the church. Okay, I want you to understand there is certain promises to Israel. But wait a minute. The Bible said that we can get doctrine from all the scriptures. I can get doctrine from Exodus, Deuteronomy. You got to remember, in Paul's day, all they had was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and maybe some of the historical books, the prophets, and the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament. And that's all they had. Somebody said, well, can you get saved out of the Old Testament? Well, you better, yes, sir. Amen. I mean, listen, Jesus took the Old Testament and expounded the scriptures to those on the road to Emmaus that day, on the first resurrection Sunday. Now, let me say to you today that you can get doctrine out of all the Bible. Now, wait a minute. We don't offer sacrifices today. We don't go into the tabernacle today. We don't go into the temple and offer sacrifices today. But there are things, in the thou shalt not kill is still good. And thou shalt not commit adultery is still good, okay? So when we look at these things from the Bible, we're to be submitted to the Word of God, rightly dividing the Bible. Amen. Now, there are people today that are not submitted to God's Word. And they say, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but. Now, that's a dangerous statement. I know what the Bible says, but. And then you're going to add something like, but God understands. Let me say this to you, God does not understand. And let me say this to you, that God does not change His Bible to get up with the times. I want you to understand that. God knew that we'd be living in a dark, dark day. Now, the next attack that's coming from the liberals, they're going to attack the Bible. They've already made a statement that this Bible leans to one certain political party, and that's a lie. It does not. The Bible is not political. It's the Word of God. The Bible does not change to fit society. Society needs to change to fit the Bible. Let me say this. The Bible does not change to fit science. Science needs to change to fit the Bible. Now, we're living in a day that we're teaching things in our universities and in our schools that is absolutely not Bible. Evolution is not Bible. Man is not evolving. Man's getting worse and worse. Man is not progressing. Man is degressing. I promise you that. Amen. I'll just go ahead on record and say this, that climate change and global warming is not found in the Bible. Now, you may believe that. You say, preacher, I believe it. Well, you don't believe your Bible then. Amen. And you need to get in. That's why every born-again saint of God ought to read through your Bible at least one time a year. And I believe you should. I believe you ought to read. The word read in the New Testament means to know again. And when you start at Genesis, and I like to start at Genesis, just read it. And if you do that, you'll get a sense of your Bible. Amen. And so Ananias was submitted to the Word of God. All right. Now, first of all, let me just say this. When it comes down to the Bible, sometimes we don't understand. I mean, God may tell us to do some things that in this Bible that boy, I tell you what, it kind of goes against our grain. We'd go, well, Lord, I just don't understand. Let's look back at verse number 13. Now, God had told Ananias to go down here to take care of Saul and to pray for him, lay his hands on him. In verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. In other words, Lord, I've heard of this man. Now you're sending me down there into trouble. And sometimes we think the Word of God and the Word may say we ought to go witness to, you know, the fields are white. And you say, well, I just can't witness to that guy over there. Lord, he's the meanest man in the world. I can't witness to him. Lord, I can't do that. I mean, I just don't understand. I just can't. And sometimes the Bible is not easy to follow. I want to say this. The Bible's not a bowl of banana pudding. And we need to get out. We need to just throw this banana pudding religion in the trash can. That everything's positive, everything's rosy all the time. Guess what? It ain't rosy all the time. Sometimes the skies are gray, the pavement is broken, and it's raining. Okay, I don't mean to be ugly. I don't want to be, but I'm just simply telling you that we're living in such a positive, cherry-filled age, amen, that everything's cream pie, banana pudding. Not necessarily. The Bible has some do's and don'ts in there. The Bible has some thou shalt nots in there. And I'll say this. It's just about time some of us preachers got a fire again and started back preaching thou shalt not. Amen. You can use any excuse you want to for not preaching, but I'm going to tell you one thing. God's looking for some men got some preach in them. And I'm not talking about preaching ugly and preaching mean and being hateful with people. I'm not talking about that at all. But we ought to submit to this Word of God. Let me tell you what my authority is the Bible. Let me tell you what my authority is. It's the King James Bible. Let me say this, that the King James Bible is not a preferred version. Somebody said, well, I prefer that version. King James Bible is not a version. All these other versions came out after the King James, and they're full of error. They're full of mistakes. You need to study them. They've left out things. For instance, one version in a verse where the King James said being baptized in Christ, it talks about being baptized into Christ. Well, see, it adds something there. It adds something. And so the thing is that you think some of that stuff ain't no harm, but let me tell you, the Bible is the authority. And ladies and gentlemen, when we took the Bible, boy, we've took it from the schoolroom, and we're doing so much better, ain't we, in our schools? And we've took it from our homes, and boy, we're doing so much better in our homes, ain't we? And we've just about took it out of the church, and boy, our churches are doing so much better without that King James, right? Wrong. Amen. There's never been a revival on the shores of our land from another version of that's called the Bible. The King James Bible is the authority. Now, I understand in a church you have bylaws and things of that nature. I understand all that, but a lot of preachers are big, 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 big on these bylaws. And I just never have been real big on them. You have to get the bylaws and get the scripture to back them up. And it's fine. I understand you have to have bylaws for certain things. I understand that. I'm not. But what I'm saying is the Bible is the authority. If the Christian would say, hey, we're going to live our life on the... It is sad that we have the problems in our churches that we do. That Brother Jim gets crossed up with Brother Tom and they have an argument and Brother Jim refuses to go with the Bible. One fellow made the statement. He said, well, that King James is just too judgmental. Let me tell you something. People are wanting smooth things. They're wanting an easier version. But are you submitted to the Word of God? Would you take the Bible and do what it says do? The Bible's not a list of rules of do's and don'ts. Psalm 119:18 says, it says this. It said, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Now, so Ananias was submitted to the Word of God. Now, let me say this. Sometimes the Word of God goes against this flesh. In verse number 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. I mean, boy, it went against his flesh. I mean, Ananias said, Lord, I can't go down there. I'm telling you, the Bible goes against this flesh. Your flesh will never jump up and down and love the Bible. You know, a lot of Christian people have trouble with tithing. Well, tithing is in the Bible. Tithing is not under the law. I can say that authoritatively. It's not under the law. Tithing is an instituted by God. Tithing's in the New Testament. It's a tenth of your income. Somebody said, well, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. Well, you can't afford not to, sir. Let me tell you something. If you knew the blessings of giving, if you knew what God would do with you, and as the late Dr. Stennett Ballou said, God will never give to you what He'll give through you in missions giving and tithing. If you just knew the joy of giving to God. I give and God gives back. I give and God gives back. I give to give again. Amen. I love giving, don't you? And if you ever get a hold of that love and giving, it won't be a problem to you. Now, some folk have a problem with the Bible because it says, well, to dress modestly. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to dress. I'll just dress any way I want to. Okay, all right. Well, you do what you want to do. But let me say this to you. It don't change the Bible. By the way, the Bible has standards against the lottery. Amen. That's right. Amen. The Bible has standards against drinking, homosexuality, adultery. The Bible has standards against that. You can't change the Word of God. Now, the Supreme Court can make any decree they want to make. They made one about abortion. They got it wrong. But it does not change the Bible. This Bible goes against the flesh. That's why men today do not want the Bible. That's why lost men have come out with other versions of the Bible. That's why lost... Oh, you say, preacher, they come out with to help us understand better. Well, you're still following the devil there. Because that's what the devil did to the Eve in the garden. This is a tree desired to make one wise. And but if she fell into sin... Let me tell you something. We need to stop appealing to people's intellect and start preaching to their heart again. Amen? We get in the pulpit with I'm going to teach them something new that they've never heard before. Why don't we just go back to simplicity and preach the things of God that need to be preached? There's a lot of this. You know, you hear very little preaching today out of the epistles. You know that? And the late Dr. Seitler said that he preached out of the epistles a lot because that helped the people live the right kind of life. And I'm going to agree with him. Amen. Now, so Ananias was submitted to the Word of God. Let me say this. God's Word is not without purpose. When God's Word tells you to do something or not to do something, it is for your benefit. It's for your benefit. Acts 9:15 says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In other words, Ananias, I've got a purpose for what I'm telling you. Now, God never lays down anything in the Bible that He don't have a purpose for it. Amen. God's not like we are. You know, you hear some preachers and boy, they'll have some goal and they'll get up in the pulpit and come up with something. They don't have no purpose to it. But God has a purpose for every inch of His Word, every radio broadcast, every sermon in a rest home, every message in a pulpit. God has a purpose for that message. And we as the men of God, I think we have the greatest responsibility in the world. Because when we're standing, we're doing something, we're helping people's spiritual health. Now, I appreciate doctors. I have friends in the medical profession, and I thank God for what they do on the physical side of it. But on the spiritual side, God has equipped the man of God. And then the man of God is to minister to the people's spiritual health. I do most of my preaching on radio. And my preaching is to help you. Now, radio is not all the preaching you need to get. You need to go to the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. Whenever you're having church, you need to be there. And if you possibly can. But radio is just a side thing that you get through the day that can help you. But we need to be submitted to the Word of God. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The Bible said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish, the Bible said, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Now the word of God will always prosper. You may think it won't. I preached the other Sunday morning. And I'm honest with you, if there's such a thing as a preacher striking out, I struck out and broke the bat. I just didn't feel like I did a good job at all. I just don't know where I was that day. I don't know how mentally I just wasn't. You ever had those days, preacher? Yeah. Amen. But let me tell you one thing. There was somebody in that service that needed that message I preached, and that word of God did not go void. I think about the preacher. I used this illustration not long ago somewhere on the radio. Dear preacher friend of mine, I believe it was the late Dr. Sammy Allen, and he was riding along one day in a car with a driver, he was going somewhere in a meeting or whatever, and Brother Sammy said, pull over, side road right here, just pull over right here. Brother Sammy got out, took his Bible. There was a stump out there in the field. Brother Sammy climbed up on that stump and preached for about an hour. Now, you'd have to understand Brother Sammy Allen. He just obeyed the Lord. He did what God told him. You say, preacher, that is foolish. No, it ain't. Well, hold on a minute. He preached on that stump. He got back in the car, said, okay, I believe I've done what God wanted me to. They went on their way. That night, there's holding meeting in the church, and there's a lady come, got saved. And they got to asking her, said, tell us about how you come to get saved. She said, let me tell you what happened today. She said, this afternoon, about 1 o'clock, said, I walked out on my porch and said, there's somebody over there across the woods, and said, they was a preaching the word of God. Said, buddy, I mean, they's letting her go. And she said, the Holy Ghost got on me. And said, by the way, preacher looked at Brother Sam and said, it sounded a whole lot like you. You know what it was? God had that man to go by and give that. You said, preacher, I don't believe God do that. I believe he will. It's in the Bible. You remember that old eunuch down there in his chariot? And he had the word of God with him. He was trying to read, trying to understand. And Philip had just preached a great revival in Samaria. And God said, Philip, why don't you go down and join yourself to that chariot? Amen. And he won that man to the Lord right there. Amen. Hey, listen, brother, I tell you this. If we would obey God, it'd be untelling what God would do. God's word will not go void. You young preachers, when you're preaching on the radio, you're preaching somewhere, God's word will not go void. I preached a few years ago in a Bible college, and I did best I could. Young men there, young ladies serving the Lord. And I always enjoy preaching in Bible college to young people. I enjoy that. And just the other day, I got a text from one of the men that is connected with that. And he said to me, preacher, he said, I still remember that message you preached a few years ago in that college. He said, it helped me. And let me tell you something, brother. I don't know who I'm reaching by radio. Radio's a faith ministry. Radio's a sowing ministry. I have no idea. Somebody listening today, you got heartbreak. You got trouble. The word of God will help you. I don't know how, but I can guarantee you one thing. We spend thousands of dollars every year at GBI to get on the radio and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on different stations. And we're on different stations all across different parts of the country. But I will promise you one thing. There are stations that we're on that I've never heard one inch of response from. And the old devil will come to me every once in a while and say, you need to cut that station. You've never heard nobody. Nobody's ever wrote you a letter. Nobody's ever phoned you. Nobody's ever emailed you from that listening area. But I'll promise you one thing. The word of God ain't went void. You ought to see the letters I've gotten in the mail over the years. I had a letter from a middle-aged man one day. And he wrote me a letter and he said, because of your radio broadcast, I've gotten right with the Lord and said, I want to help raise my grandchildren for God. Oh, my friend, listen to me. People's gotten right with God. People's got to help through the radio. And so I know that the word of God's not returned. But I don't want to be submitted to the word of God. I can't get on this radio and preach what I want to. I had something else I was going to preach today and God said, preach this. And I want to be submitted. I had an outline laying on my desk. It's laying on my desk right now. And I was going to preach. God said, preach this message. And brother, somebody will get help from this message today. Submit yourself to the word of God. Just be a Bible Christian. Amen. Names and labels and all this and that. No, we argue over stuff. Be a Bible Christian. Get in your King James Bible. See what it says now. Ananias was submitted to the word of God. May I give you this? Isaiah. Think about Isaiah for a minute. Isaiah was submitted to the work of God. Now, you remember now in Isaiah chapter number 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, you remember that? The Bible said that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. You remember that? And then Isaiah did something here. Isaiah 6:8, the Bible said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Well, Isaiah was surrendered to the work of God. He was submitted. I want to ask you, do you want to do anything for God? Now listen to my question. Do you want to do anything for God? You've been saved all these years. What have you ever done for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, you know, they don't need me down at the church. Well, I'd get in the church that needed me. I'd get in one I could do something for the Lord in. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I want to be somewhere where I can serve the Lord, don't you? The work of God. Are we submitted to the work of God? Well, preacher, it's optional whether I work for the Lord. All right. I don't think you'll be feeling that way on the judgment seat of Christ Day. I don't think you'll be feeling that way. We have made the judgment seat into a picnic, brother, and it ain't going to be that way. I hate to tell you that, but it ain't. Amen. You're going to stand. Some people's works are going to be burned in the fire. And the Bible said, if any man build, there's going to be some folks standing there that ain't built nothing on the foundation. Now, wouldn't it be something if you had all your wood and your timber laying there on your land and they'd poured the foundation and you knew how to build? I mean, you was a carpenter by trade and you needed a house built and you was going to build it. And you just stood there with all the materials. Or maybe you was under contract to build somebody a house. And you stand there and they showed up. 6 months later, you're supposed to have that house built. And there's all you looked at them and you said, right here's the pile of wood laying here. Right here's the roof. And right here's this and that and other thing. It wouldn't do no good if you didn't put it together. They wouldn't have. By the way, we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't do you any good just to get fat in the Lord. It don't do you any good just sit and listen to preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and never do anything. I mean, it's good to listen to preaching, but you need to do something. Amen. You need to step out in the water. Amen. The Bible said, be a doer of the work. God has said in His... You know, I find today people rather have a career than a calling. You know that? Most people don't want to serve in the ministry because they're too busy making money. These young people, all you young people study is a career and money. Well, I've got to have a retirement. Well, who said you was going to live to see that retirement? Young people die. What if you're 40-year-old and you get cancer and you die? And you've give your life to some career instead of some work for God. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need career people. We need doctors. We need nurses. We need lawyers. We need policemen. We need electricians. We need plumbers. We need people. But we need some preachers, too. And we need some godly young ladies that will serve in the Lord's work. Amen? When you're submitted to the work, first of all, there's the call. Now, I believe that God has a call for everybody. Amen. I'm not in a career. I'm in a calling. And I believe that's going to separate some preachers. Amen. I mean, some of these preachers treat the ministry like it's a career. And when they get 65, they can just retire from it and walk away from it. How in the world can you do that? How in the world can you walk away from a calling? I've been doing this for 40 years now. I thought about it. I think about it a lot. You know, race car drivers and ball players and all that. At their best, 20 years is about all they're going to do. I mean, tops, 20 years, and they're done with it. I mean, they better do what they're going to do when they're from the age of, let's say, 20-year-old to 40, because when they get up there, they're done. I'm 57, and I've been preaching this Word of God now. I'm in my 40th year, 39 years I preach the Bible, and God's given me double what some sports stars have. I'm glad for it. I hope we get tripled. I'd like to preach 60 years at least. But I'll tell you this right now. God's been good to Ricky Cothran, and He's let me preach. But there's a call on my life. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be blunt. But if you men ain't been called to preach, get out of it. I'm tired of this. I'm going to Bible college to study to be a minister. You need to can that mess. Let me tell you something. You don't study to be a minister. You study because you are a minister. Either God's called you or He ain't. And if you ain't got a calling in it, leave it alone. This ain't a career. It ain't a thing where you can get a quote-unquote full-time position. I just get so... Well, I'm tired of hearing that. Full-time. Full-time to what? Amen? Now, if God has blessed you to be full-time in the work, I'm glad for it. But that's just what it is, full-time in the work. Amen. You know what a preacher's jobs are, don't you? If I would ask you what the two main jobs of a preacher are, could you tell me what they are? Studying your Bible and prayer. It's not running around having banana splits with your buddies and drinking Coca-Colas and I mean, listen. I understand you got to have fellowship. But let me tell you something, brother. We need to get in the Bible. We need to get the work of God. Needs some attention, brother. Have you had the call on your life? That's why so many people, now you're not going to like what I'm going to say here. I'm for missionaries. Me and my wife give quite a bit of money to missions. I thank God for missions. Amen. But I'll tell you why we're having men go to the field and all of a sudden they're changing fields and they're coming home. There's been so much field changing. Now, I'm not going to tell you that God would keep a man somewhere all his life. There are times God would change a man. There are times, for instance, Jonah was a prophet in Israel. God told him to go to Nineveh. God changed his direction. Jonah didn't like that. But I'm going to say this to you. God's not changing men's fields as much as they're changing them. And I'll tell you why men are changing them. Now, I'm not saying everybody. Now, there are sometimes health issues and different things. A man has to come home. I understand that. Please, I'm not being that. Please don't misunderstand my message. But I'm going to say to you, the reason a lot of men go 6 months and stay on the mission field and come home and they'll come back and take a church or take a position somewhere, God never called them in the first place. They got it in their eyes. They thought it was very cool to get out and work support up. And listen, I'm just preaching where it is. Now, some of you may not like that, but we got a problem in fundamentalism. We need to face that. We need to address this problem that we have of men going to the mission field and staying 6 months or a year, and then they accept some position in a church and come back. And listen, we need to address that problem. We need to address, and I tell you what, I think we're sending these young boys off to the mission field. Maybe older men ought to go to the mission field. Maybe we ought to train these young boys a little longer. Amen. I'm not going to run with a young man doing something. I thank God we got some good young preachers, and I'm for you. And I thank God for you, and I want God to raise you up, and I want to help you. But I tell you, there's a call involved with preaching the Bible. And not everybody's going to be called to preach now. You ladies, I'd leave y'all out, but you can do other things. Then there's a cost in the work of God. Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah was called prophet. Boy, there's a cost. Isaiah, God called Isaiah to do some strange things. Some things I don't think he's going to tell you to do, he told Isaiah to do, because Isaiah was a prophet to the Jews, and the Jews required a sign. So God ain't going to tell you to go barefoot and naked for 3 years, but he did Isaiah. And God ain't going to tell you, amen, to do this, that, and Isaiah had to stand, and Isaiah had to give warnings about things that was coming on. And boy, I tell you what, Isaiah's life wasn't, and I believe Bible history says, the Bible doesn't say this, but I think history says Isaiah was sawed to death with a wooden saw. Isaiah died under persecution for preaching the Word of God. So there's a cost. You see, we think that the preaching thing is good. And I think this is why so many people have gotten into preaching, because they want it to be, I'm a reverend. Well, first of all, I'm not a reverend. There's only one reverend, that's God. And secondly, I know preachers back in my day, when we first started, they had them little cards, you know, a little preacher's card. You could just flash the card and you'd get in the hospital and go anywhere you want to. I think some men like that idea. Well, first of all, I just never have liked to visit hospitals. Let me tell you something. I understand people get sick and understand that people need the preacher. But I tell you what, amen, I just never have wanted to be a hospital evangelist. I just never have been. I know men, I just never have campaigned for funerals. Amen. That's just something I don't know why in the world a man would want to campaign for a funeral. I don't understand that. I guess get his name in the paper. And I don't know. But listen, I believe this. There's a cost in the work of God. And sometimes we don't count the cost. My life's been great. I could die today and I've lived my dream. But I've paid a cost for preaching. It's lost me friends. It's lost me finances. It's lost me fame. It's lost me this. It's lost me a lot of that. But no, wait a minute. Whoa. The end of the way is not yet. God's going to reward me one day. And I may end up getting killed for the gospel's sake. I may end up being like Isaiah. You may end up, we may be in jail. You don't know. Roloff went to jail years ago. I don't know if persecution's coming on. But I'll tell you this, there's a cost. But you know what? There was a man, he had a lot of zeal, young man, in the book of Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 19. The Bible said, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, boy, people's got a lot of zeal. And you young people better be careful. Don't get more zeal than you do knowledge, okay? Verse number 20, "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In other words, I just want to warn you, son. You say you're going to follow me. I just want to warn you that the foxes even got a place to sleep tonight. I don't. And I just want to tell you that because you're a preacher don't mean everybody's going to like you. Now, I love everybody on the radio. And I want you to know that I don't preach to make preachers mad. I don't preach to make churches mad. I have give up that popularity stuff. There's more politics in fundamentalism than there is in Washington, D.C. right now. And Brother Cothran, don't do it. I just love everybody. And if you're preaching God's word, I'm for you. And if you're not, I hope you get right. But I'll say this to you today, amen, that there is a cost in serving the Lord. There's a call and there's a cost. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Can you say that? Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever the cost, whatever the call, I'll do it, Lord. It may not be on the mission field in Africa eating monkey meat. It may be right here in the United States. I prayed about it, and God told me, and I've tried to go to the mission field several times, and God pointed me to the book of Ezekiel and said, your people's right here. And brother, I tell you right now, as of right now, and God can do anything, but as of right now, God's got me on the radio. He's opening more doors and more doors and more doors, and I love radio, and I want to help you in this day. I'm not some of the men that went before me. I'm not Sattler, and I'm not Green, and I'm not going to try to be them. I'm Ricky Cothran, and I want to help you. I want to do all I can, but I want to add to what they did, and I want to help a generation walk with God. Amen. Be submitted to the work of God. Then I want to say this. There's the conclusion of it. You know, I don't know what was going to befall me before I die, but there's a payday someday, brother. Praise the Lord. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. You know, there's going to be a day Christ's going to reward me. Men may not reward me, but I'm not preaching for men. I'm not going to change my message for money and men and methods and meetings. I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to. I could change my message. I could tone down. I could become preaching banana pudding all the time. And I tell you what, I could be booked 50 weeks a year. Amen. But I love you. I'm going to help you. If I come to preach in your church, I'm not going to tire your church up. I'm not going to find out what's wrong with it. Amen. Well-known evangelist, and he didn't mean any harm. But he came to my church one day with a whole bunch of outlines, and he said to me, now, you know, basically, what message would help? And he's just trying to help me. But I said, brother, just follow the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Amen. I'm not going to tell a man what to preach. I'm going to let the Lord tell him what to preach. I'm going to let the Lord tell me what to preach. Just like this one. I can take you right now. At my desk in there, there's an outline laying on my desk right now. As I told you a while ago, God said, no, I want you to preach this. Preach a submitted life. And boy, we need to be submitted to the work of God. Preacher, I'll go, whatever the Lord wants me to do. The preacher ought not have to beg for people to go out and win people to the Lord. We ought to be ready to do that. The preacher ought not have to beg for people to teach Sunday school. Somebody ought to be ready to do that. The preacher ought not have to beg for candidates for deacons. Somebody ought to be ready to do that. Amen. And I mean, listen, brother, I hope God will call some more preachers. I hope God will put His call on them. Amen. Ananias was submitted to the Word of God. And Isaiah was submitted to the work of God. Now I want to close. My last one was this. Christ, our blessed Lord, was submitted to the will of God. I believe it is attributed to Dr. Harold B. Sattler that said to find God's will is life's greatest treasure, and to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. There's nothing like being 100% in the will of God. There's nothing like knowing that you are doing exactly what God would have you do. And I tell you, the will of God is so missed today in our churches. We have become so fleshly that we reason out the will of God. A church will get without a pastor, and it's, well, call this man, he can build your church. Well, call that man, he's young, and we reason. You don't reason God. You just do what God says do. You get, by the way, if you don't get the man God wants in that church will never go anywhere. God said, without me ye can do nothing. The will of God is important in who you marry. You say, well, I'll just get me a pretty girl and I'll marry her and we'll go in the ministry. You will be in a mess. Well, I'll just get me a boy that's got a Bible and he'll love the Lord and you'll be in a mess. God's will, it's not preached in our churches much anymore, but ladies and gentlemen, God has a will for every born-again Christian. And it's time we find the will of God for our lives, our churches, our homes, our family, our children. And listen, mom and daddy, you can't plan your future for your kid. Let God work His will in them. My mama prayed that I'd be a preacher. I thank God she did. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I'm not going to argue and debate this verse. I'm going to preach it. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if I be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what Jesus was saying there? He's saying this, Lord, in my flesh. I'm in the flesh. But Lord, if you can remove it, but not. Nevertheless, thy will be done. I want to ask us, can you say that? You know, there's a verse in the book of Song of Solomon. She talks about her garden. And then she talks about his garden. And I've been wanting to get a message on when your garden becomes his garden. Ladies and gentlemen, when your will becomes God's will. You say, I want to do this and I want to do that. Did you know God is working with me on that very thing right now? There's things I'd like to do. And God has not opened the door for me to do them right now. And I don't know if he ever will. Did you know I heard the story, and somebody could tell it better than I could, but I heard the story that Dr. Oliver Green's wife always wanted to go to Africa to be a missionary, but she married Dr. Green, did a great work, and I met a man, she won to the Lord. I had a man who was a member of my church, and he said, Miss Green won me to the Lord in Maryland in a tent meeting. Now let me tell you something, brother, let me tell you something. I don't know what God's will for your life is, but I'll tell you one thing, preacher, you ought to get in the bean field and the pea patch and the corn field and beg God and find God's will for your life again. It ain't what the brethren think you ought to do. I told this story the other day. I had a preacher friend of mine in a southern state, pastor large church, and he said one day a pulpit committee called me from another state. He said, I told him I'm not interested. Said they called me the second time, told him I'm not interested. He said they called me the third time. And he said, the third time they said to me, come, this will really help your ministry. Listen, I'm sick of that stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what's good for another man. Let God's will be done. We have ruled out the Holy Ghost in this day and hour. We have become so mechanical, we have become so refined, we have become so reformed that we know more than God does. And God knows his will for my life. God knows his will for your life. I've tried. I was confused as a young preacher. I was in and out, up and down. I missed the will of God several years ago. In 1997, I was sitting in the Mount Calvary Baptist Church of Rhonda, North Carolina, and I made a vow to the Holy God of Heaven that if God would let me, I would never miss the will of God again. And by the grace of God, I have not missed the will of God since 1997. I've went where God told me. I've left churches when God told me to. When I didn't want to leave, God told me to leave. Now, I did leave one out of the will of God many years ago, but since 1997, when I surrendered to God, I have absolutely tried my best to move in the perfect will of God. You can know what is the perfect will of God for your life. Let me just read to you some verses here. Romans 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to give you three keys to the will of God. I want to give you three keys now. Now listen, Ananias was submitted to the word of God. He yielded his life to the power, the authority, the will of another. And he said, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do what the word says. Isaiah was submitted to the work of God. Lord, I'll yield to the power, the authority, the will of you. I'll go where you want me to go. Send me. And then let me say this, that Christ was submitted to the will of God. Christ submitted to the power and the authority and the will of God the Father and went to Calvary and died. What if Christ had not obeyed the will of God? What if Christ was like some of you and says, well, the will of God's optional. I don't have to be in the will of God. We leave so many things optional today. You know that? Listen, brother, if we ever got a touch of God on our lives and realize that God, you're going to face God Almighty. We have watched so much fairy tales. We've read so many fiction stories in books and all this stuff. That's why God's against a lot of that stuff in the New Testament. It has warped our minds. And brother, we don't have a real clear understanding of the heavenly world. Even to the average Christian, heaven's a fairy tale. They believe it somewhere in the back of their mind that they're going to go there someday. But right now, we're going to live, boy, we're going to live it up right now. Wait a minute, brother. I'm not living for this world. This world's not my home. The will of God. Well, let me give you three keys to it. First of all, I believe the first one's found in Romans 12:1. Present your body as a living sacrifice. You know what? This old body, God wants me to present this. Now, I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind. Some of you are going to disagree with me. And I understand we use it for lost people, but in Matthew chapter number 16, we talk about if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul. You know that's not talking to the lost people there. That's talking to saved people. If you read that verse in its context, it's talking to saying, wait a minute, hold on. It's not talking about losing your salvation. No, sir. But what it's talking about is your life. If I live it up in this world and I just live a great life and I have one of them banana pudding lives and everything's all right and I never give anything to God, How am I going to face it? What am I going to do when I get there to heaven? I'm going to be in the judgment, and there's going to be old Abraham that sojourned, didn't even have a house to dwell in. There's going to be Isaiah that got sawed with a wooden saw. There's going to be Paul that got beheaded and Peter that got crucified upside down. There's going to be my friend Jeremiah who died in Egypt, was kidnapped and took to Egypt, basically. There's going to be men that how in the world am I going to stand and justify living without ever doing anything for God, without ever seeking God's will in front of those men? That's why the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's not talking about that they can look over heaven and see you right now. It's not talking about that at all. But listen, let me tell you what it is talking about. We have a cloud of witnesses that's went before us. What about Enoch who walked with God? But we don't even think enough of God to pray. They did a statistic. Somebody put it out the other day. My wife was telling me about it. And I'm not big in statistics, but she's just telling me. Said the average Christian prayed 1 minute a day. And I kind of made a joke about it. I said, what do they pray? Dear Lord, life's so sweet. I'm up this morning. I'm on my feet. You know, I mean, let me tell you something, brother. We'd better get a hold of God. We're living in a dangerous hour. We're living in a time when our nation's being turned into hell. We're living in a time when the demons and the devils have took this place. It's a dark, dark world we live in. And you sit there and you say, oh, you'll go to Sunday school and sob a few tears. And, oh, I want y'all to pray for my children. They'll get in church. But you don't pray for them all week long. I'm going to tell you something that's hard, I'm going to tell you something that's blunt, and I'm going to tell you something you ain't going to like, but there's no need in requesting prayer and crying for them in front of the congregation if you ain't going to pray for them yourself. You should never ask anybody to pray for anything you don't pray for yourself. That's hard, that's blunt, but it is the truth, and I want to say it with love. I do love you. Y'all still love me? I still love you. Can I tell you today, friend, the will of God, we ought to submit our old bodies to the Lord. Amen. I had to submit early in my life. I was in the river up there. I've told you this story. I was in the river, and the Holy Ghost said to me, I didn't have a preacher to come by. I didn't have anybody take the scriptures. I just had the Holy Spirit said, son, what are you doing up here dressed like that? I was at the North Wilkesboro Speedway, sitting there as a man down below me with a case of beer, and God said, son, what are you doing here? He said, you can't preach the Word of God and be here. I was a young preacher. Just had announced my call to preach on Saturday up there, watching the qualifying. And I had a man said, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. I want to live a life and be true to God. Sometimes this old body, you're going to have to say no to it. Amen. Now, let me give you another one. And be not conformed to this world. You will never know the will of God if you're conformed to this world. This world ain't my home. I don't want to be like it. I'm not a Pharisee. I don't have to dress like them. I don't have to talk like them. I don't have to listen to the filth. I don't have to watch the dirty television programs. I don't have to bring that stuff in my home. You say, well, if you had kids, you would. No, I wouldn't. No, I don't have to. If I had kids, I wouldn't let them sit and play these dark video games. I'd put them in the garden raising corn and beans. I'd teach them to work. Amen. That's what you ought to do. You say, preacher, that's cruel. No, what you're doing to them's cruel. Amen. You're spoiling them. Amen. They're going to grow up to be nothing, and our nation's going to fall. It's what's going. We got to don't be. But now here's the key to the will of God. The third thing, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that means? You're going to have your mind renewed every day. The devil works on the mind. And the God of this world have blinded their minds, talking about the lost people, the devil. But even in a saved person, the devil works on your mind. Paul had a messenger of Satan that followed him everywhere, working on his mind. And let me tell you something, brother. What you got to do is listen to preaching. I'm amazed about one thing. We put a internet preaching station on the air not too long ago. And I'm amazed all across this country, people listening to that preaching station. Are all across, everywhere. I mean, I don't know, all across the country, but I know, well, I guess they are all across the country. I don't know where all they listen to. But we get reports from people in different places. I get reports of people that go to sleep at night listening to it. Now, let me say something about that. That's good. Listen to fundamental Bible King James preaching. Listen to it. And if you need to know who to listen to, write us and we'll try to help you in that area. I want you to listen to the best preachers. There's some good preaching out there. You need to listen to some Bible preaching in this day. Put it in you. And it'll renew your mind. Get in your Bible every day and it'll renew your mind. Read that book every day. Read that book every day and it'll renew your mind. Amen. There's a little boy who went off to military one day. And his daddy gave him a Bible. And he said, now son said, you need to read this Bible every day. You need to read your Bible. And that boy took that Bible and he put it up and he got out with his friends drinking and, you know, immorality. He said, I ain't reading that Bible. And he got needing money. And he called his daddy and he said, Daddy, he said, I need some money. He said, I'm just broke and need some money. Daddy said, read your Bible. Read your Bible, son. Read your Bible to help you. Read your Bible. You made a profession years ago, said you're saved. Now read your Bible. He didn't know the boy had got out in the world, but he kind of suspicioned he had. And young boy hung up. He's mad. He's mad. He said, man, I ain't got no money to go out and do nothing with my friends. I ain't got no money to live on. I'm broke. And daddy said, read the Bible. What good's it going to do? Read the Bible. Finally, he got so desperate one night, he said, I believe I'll just try this Bible reading thing. He got his Bible out and began to read. And that old daddy, between every page or two, had put a $10 bill and a $20 bill and a $10 bill and a $20 bill. Just filled that Bible full of money. Let me tell you something, brother. I want you to know something. God met that boy's need by opening the Word of God. Now listen, I want to tell you something. You know what? Oh, Ananias was submitted to the Word of God. And then Isaiah was submitted to the work of God. And Christ was submitted to the will of God. I can't tell you what the will of God is for your life. And you can't tell me what the will of God is for mine. But I tell you how you find the will of God. Renew your mind in prayer. In prayer, I had God tell me something this morning. And you don't have to believe me, but I had God tell me something life-changing this morning. I was standing there beside my bed getting ready to come to the office, and God told me something changed my life. And this the decision that needed to be made. And God answered it just like that. Brother, be submitted. Are you submitted? Ananias said, he told the Lord, he said, behold, he said, here I am. How about you? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Can you surrender to the word, the will, and the work of God, Father? I'm afraid it takes us a lifetime to get submitted. I'm certainly not the best Christian on the block. I know that. I need a lot of work. I need a lot of help. It took you a week to make the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars, but you're still working on me. And Lord, help me. And God, help these people that are listening to me today to live a submitted life in Jesus' name. Save the sinner that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.